Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
A new report shows few cracks in the glass ceiling. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. At a congressional hearing today, the Government Accountability Office will issue a survey, and it finds little progress in women moving into management positions. Marketplace's John Dimsdale joins us from Washington. Morning, John.
Good morning, Bill.
What does this latest picture show?
Well, 10 years ago, 39% of managers were women. 7 years later, there was only a 1% improvement to 40%. This study does give us a better picture of how women get promoted in different industries. And in three industries, there are actually a higher percentage of women bosses than women in the rank-and-file workforce. Those are construction, public administration, and transportation.
And what about salaries? Are female managers shrinking the pay gap?
There's some progress. Overall, female full-time managers earn 81 cents for every dollar paid to a comparable male colleague. That's a 2 cent per dollar improvement. In some industries now, women fared better than others. In government jobs, for example, women managers earned 87 cents on the dollar earned by men. But in banking, it was only 78 cents.
And John, does this study look at why there is this much inequality in management and pay?
There was one telling statistic. 63% of female managers are childless, compared to only 57% of males. And the more children a woman manager has, the more they fall behind the pay of their male counterparts. That seems to suggest that parenthood, having a family, falls more heavily on the careers of women. And women managers are also much less likely to be married than male bosses.
Very interesting. Marketplace's John Dimsdale. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
We may soon learn what happens next with AIG. You know, taxpayers bailed out the insurance giant. We own a big chunk of AIG shares. Word is the government's getting ready to sell that stock so we can get some of our money back. But will we? Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
Breaking up is hard to do, especially when the stock market has been in the tank. There are reports the Treasury Department is now preparing to convert its $49 billion worth of preferred AIG shares into common stock, which is easier to sell. The market is up right now, so investors might be feeling confident enough to dive into AIG stock. Plus, the insurance giant got good prices recently when it spun off some subsidiaries. That luster could rub off on the stock. Ann Vorse is an economist at the New America Foundation.
If the markets understand that, you know, how strong some of the AIG lines are, then I think that could give a reassessment of AIG altogether.
Force says there's a 40% chance taxpayers could see a profit. Don't get your hopes up too high, though. The congressional panel overseeing the financial bailout says taxpayers are still at risk for severe losses from their AIG investments. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Speaking of losses, let's do the numbers. Anywhere you go in the world this morning, stocks are down about 1%. A big ratings agency downgraded Anglo-Irish Bank, saying that bank has become less creditworthy. Wall Street's coming off a negative day. The Dow Industrials lost 48 points yesterday to settle at 10,812.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. ReputationDefender.com/market. By CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by PBS, presenting baseball the 10th inning from Ken Burns, tonight at 8, 7 Central on most PBS stations.
This week, the United Kingdom applauds one of its oldest industries by celebrating Cheese Week. Reporter Christopher Worth tells us British cheese has been booming, and the country's artisans are challenging their European competitors.
If you're a fan of Wallace and Gromit movies, you know the British have a reputation for eating cheese.
I'll never sleep after all that cheese.
While the French and Italians have a reputation for making it. But Juliet Harbit says Britain once had a cheese-making tradition that was just as vibrant as the rest of Europe.
And they went from something like 2,500, 3,000 cheesemakers at the beginning of the First World War to after the Second World War, we were down to about 300 or 400.
Harbit founded the British Cheese Awards 15 years ago. She's seen a big improvement in the industry since then. Today, there are over 700 different British cheeses, putting the UK ahead of France in the number of varieties per capita. Yes, someone actually measures that sort of thing. And the market for artisanal British cheeses hit $300 million last year. Harbit says the revival is due mostly to rock-bottom milk prices that have dairy farmers looking for new ways to make a profit.
What we need to do now is to put the curd into the molds.
At her small creamery in a village about an hour outside London, Anne Wigmore stirs a vat of cheese curds the size of a bathtub. She brings in around $180,000 a year for the various cow and sheep's milk varieties she began developing nearly 25 years ago.
It was called then a sort of new wave of cheesemakers coming through, actually producing a completely different cheese.
Instead of sticking with old traditional British cheeses, like standard cheddar, Wigmore says the new generation of British cheesemakers are incorporating different European styles to create innovative products, many with equally innovative names. Jason Hines is with Neal's Yard Dairy, a specialty cheese shop in London.
A lot of the cheeses are actually taking the names of the location of the place that they're made. Ticklemore is one, because the cheesemaker had a shop, and it was at 1 Ticklemore Street.
Other names are even more imaginative. How about Wobbly Bottom, Cornish Yarg, and Stinking Bishop? Stinking Bishop may not sound like the most appetizing cheese, but the artisan who makes it reported demand jumped 500% after Wallace and Gromit sampled it in one of their movies. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
The powerful Wallace and Gromit. And finally, Deborah Smirling received a card from Harrah's Casino in Atlantic City saying, here is a $15 voucher that you can spend gambling on Sunday, August 10th. So Deborah showed up just after midnight on Saturday the 9th, which is technically Sunday morning. But the casino told her, no, it's still Saturday night. You can't use this voucher until 8 in the morning. Well, if you've ever been in a casino at 8 a.m., you know it feels a little sad. Instead, Deborah sued Harrah's. Now, the casino must pay $100 to her and 80,000 other people. That's money they're free to gamble anytime they want. It is dark in Los Angeles, but this is still the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.